Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
All right, final segment of the night tonight here. We continue the discussion around the Houston Dynamo and Real Salt Lake in the playoffs. Again, this segment brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. Or 713-CALL-NOW. You want the best in a personal injury attorney. You need one when you get in an accident. Could be car, boat, motorcycle. You want the best. It's the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. By the way, bringing soccer to the airwaves and allows us to do interviews with a man I've had the pleasure of calling games with and calling some of his games. Not to date myself, he is Brian Dunseth, Apple TV, former Major League Soccer defender as well. Brian, thank you.
You're the legend, man. I've always enjoyed my time with you, Glenn.
All right. Well, I guess the real obvious question here right now is Real Salt Lake relieved simply to just be in the playoffs?
Yes, the answer is yes. They're relieved to be in the playoffs. I think it's the goal of obviously every team. That's the only kind of delineation in terms of a line of success versus failure that we have in Major League Soccer over the course of the regular season. But at the same time, it's been a weird year. I mean, a losing record at home at America First Field, and yet they, for the second time since Jason Christ left the club, they've hit 50 points, or they, you know, they've earned over 50 points in an MLS regular season. So for a team that has, what, made the playoffs 6 consecutive seasons in a row, I think the idea was a top 4 finish. Now, they came up a little bit short. There's a couple of reasons and variables that also come into play outside of not doing well at home this season. But they took more points this year than they took last year. And so building underneath Pablo Mastroianni, ownership spends roughly around $16 million when it's all said and done since taking over about 18, 19 months ago. So there's a good feel, especially for a club that lost Paulo Ruiz, which was such a huge part of what they were doing during the League's Cup and right before that all-important semifinal down in Houston in the U.S. Open Cup, where they drastically had to change the way they played. They're happy that they've made the playoffs. I think they feel like they've left some of the business undone because of the way the kind of regular season, you know, made its way out. But who knows, man? It's a crapshoot when we're talking about Major League Soccer and we're talking about the play. We know who the heavyweights are, but I guess now, who's the underdog? Who's kind of that feisty team that nobody wants to play?
He's Brian Dunseth, Apple TV. You hear him weekly in Major League Soccer. Okay, so that all said and done, that's great. You know better than me as a former MLS player that it's a total reset now, and it's how you are going into this second season. It happens in all playoff-oriented leagues in America. So how do you see them going into the playoffs? Enough confidence, enough momentum, playing well enough?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a couple of variables at play, right? You're thankful that you avoided the wild card game on Wednesday. Disappointed you didn't lock up at least the opportunity to have that second home match should the game go to 3 games in this opening round, which I love. It just takes me back to when you and I were a part of Major League Soccer back in the old school days, the 3-game playoff series. I love that format. And you're thinking about, okay, what's going on with Justin Glad? He picked up the injury in Colorado. You've got Marcelo Silva dealing with a family issue. You have Jefferson Savarino dealing with a family issue. Chicho Rongo picked up that hamstring issue 3 weeks ago. But you showed fight and determination to get the result that you did on the road during the international break at LA Galaxy. And you beat Colorado Rapids, and there's a joke in there that everybody's beaten the Colorado Rapids this year, but you beat them 4 times in a calendar year in all competition. And maybe by subtraction, we're seeing some addition with Diego Luna's performances. So there's some question marks surrounding this team in terms of health and fitness. And I think that is the real big unknown for Pablo Mastroianni's side, because I think there's a good mentality in this team. I think their team kind of mimics that workman-like workhorseman. I think there's a lot of similarities between Benny Olsen and Pablo Mastroianni as former players. I think there's a lot of similarities as managers between the two. And now, and I know we'll talk about Houston, but I think you see a team that's taken on a little bit of the personality of the manager. And I think you certainly can argue that's been the case for Real Salt Lake and Pablo Mastroianni.
All right, you lose Pablo Ruiz, and I remember when that happened, and I just said to myself, you know, that's kind of Major League Soccer. You lose a key element like that, your team changes. To absorb that loss, it's going to take something special. Now you don't have Chicho Arango potentially, right, with a hamstring.
Yeah.
So two questions. Number one, who's kind of taking the reins in your eyes as a playmaker for this team? And number two, Where do we think or know Arango is with a hamstring, as we know is a tricky injury?
Yeah, I was told that Chicho Arango was close enough heading into the last game of the season that there was a feel-good factor about his availability versus Houston. Mm-hmm. And I probably should say that all of these games, if you don't have the Apple MLS subscription, these first-round games, including Houston and Real Salt Lake, will be for free. They are available for free on the Apple app. So for anyone that hasn't watched and is listening to this show, just know that that is going to be available for him. So Chicho coming back, there's a feel-good factor in there. I mean, listen, it's been a rotating cast of characters. Danny Musovski, who, by the way, took himself out of the team because he didn't get his contract. He was gone for 4 weeks. He came back. It's
nothing
crazy,
like,
mind-boggling.
Nothing like putting personal ambition above team ambition at this point of the season.
I'm just saying, like, and maybe you and I are just old school, and I know you align with me on this one. I don't even have to ask. There's only certain things that you can control as an athlete. You can't control the manager's decisions too often. You can't control a sporting director or a general manager, even an owner, the opportunity to be traded or your contract negotiations. The one thing you can control is your performance. So you go out in the field, you perform, you're going to get that deal that you want. And you might get an extra $100,000 because you were made to wait and you can play hardball. But it just really trapped my hide. So then you got Rubio Rabin, who in a positive way is going away with his national team, scoring a couple goals. So at least he's not seeing significant minutes with Real Salt Lake, but getting the international calendar window where he's gotten 6 games, you know, over the course of the last 2.5 months. You've got Demir Krylock, who's always got something a little bit different. Who knows what next year looks like? And then Anderson Julio, who everyone in this league knows for the MLS After Darkers. He's kind of a Brian West type of explosiveness, getting in behind consistently of an opponent's back line. So there's different variables at play, but they're just not Chicho. Chicho's Chicho.
And nothing constant, right? And nothing consistent. Yeah. So let me go back to, you mentioned Demir Krylock, who I've always loved him coming deep. I mean, he turns into a center forward. I know he was played up front. How did that work out?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, but I should probably tell the story of what happened to Demir last year. It was about 5 or 6 games into the season, and Demir, they were at NYCFC. So they're playing in Yankee Stadium. Demir goes up for a header, and he's kind of underneath the defender. And, you know, like us old school defenders, we jump, we get our elbows up. Well, as Demir jumped, he kind of like stunted. He just kind of hit, and it was a weird kind of like coming together, but nothing outside, nothing malicious, no ill intent. It was just he got beat on the header. And on the plane home, he started feeling some discomfort. But what they realized was he had a nerve issue, and it was nerve issue in his back that went all the way down to like the tip of his toes. So there was like a nerve regeneration process. And the way I was told, it was something, and someone medically out there is going to be like, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But I was told that it takes about a month to regrow about an inch of your nerve. So Demir was out for pretty much the whole season. It's a dude that's 6'3". And so he's basically, you think about that distance from his back all the way down to his toes and having to regenerate this nerve. And he just didn't feel right. So they shut him down. And this year he's back, but it's a little bit different. And he's another year older. And so, you know, you start adding a couple of players here and there. And so he's got a different role. And it hasn't been easy for him. And we see this all the time, kind of the older guys. I remember with Boniek Garcia, you know, when you're not playing every single, when you are the man, and then all of a sudden you still think you're the man, but your body isn't the man anymore. Like all of a sudden you have this psychological game where you know this as well as I do. they start telling you you're not good enough, or they tell you that your role is going to change, and you're like, hey, man, screw you. No, I can still play, man. I can still play. So, yeah, it's been a tough one for Domi because he hasn't – this was the guy that was rock solid for 5 years. Every single game, every single minute, he was a leader. He's one of the best human beings you could ever come across. Just a complete guts, glue, locker room guy, holding everyone accountable. Not a Roddy Robb, but an emotional leader for the group. And it's part of the evolution of this team, kind of seeing him and Marcelo Silva with, I would say, you know, less distinctive roles than they've ever had within the group.
True professional. Great and I think that's a part of the story for the Dynamo is the addition of real pros, Eric Svechenko, an engaged Hector Herrera, Artur.
Yeah.
I mean, it you look at this year to last year, and you don't have to say much. All you got to do is look at the two rosters, look at the starting 11 last year to this year. It's incomparable. It's an 180 degree turn. So as I say that, you know, I'm looking at the lineup here against Colorado. And I'm going to be blunt. I don't see this lineup competing with the Houston Dynamo right now, where they are confidence-wise, at home, and momentum-wise. It's Hidalgo, Glad, Oviedo, Chang, Oeda, Luna, Anelli, Brody, Musovski, and Julio. Now, that's also without not knowing if people are going to come back with injury, right? From injury.
Yeah.
How do you see?
I would say right now, the strongest possible starting 11 that they could roll out, and I'll verbalize this, it would be Zach McMath in goal. You kind of get into, is Oviedo your left back, another player that's kind of on the backside of his career, but was extraordinary for Costa Rica, he used to play at Everton, he was at Copenhagen.
Yeah, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, by the way. I just want to make sure I don't come off as, but I you know, having watched the Dynamo, I'm just looking at this and I'm going,
Yeah, well, Brian Vera would be left back, it would be left center back, Justin Glad right center back, and then probably Andrew Brody at right back. Because of Pablo Ruiz being out for injury, you're going to play Ojeda and Palacio, so a Paraguayan international and a Colombian kid, 21, with two caps for Colombia. In an ideal world, you play Diego Luna on the left. You can play Gomez on the right with Jefferson Savarino underneath Chicho. That would be, in my opinion, the strongest possible starting 11 that Pablo Mastroianni could have. But you're absolutely right. If you look at the LA Galaxy game and you look at the Colorado Rapids game, that line, those two lineups, well, I think showed enough determination, enough grit. Like you said, I've watched this Houston team away from home. I've called games in Seattle. I've called games at home a couple of weeks ago. They have everything. What I would suggest, though, is if you go back to the game that effectively got Giovanni Savarese fired, which was Houston completely taking apart the Portland Timbers down in Houston, that next game was Real Salt Lake at Houston for the U.S. Open Cup semifinal. And RSL pushed them as far as they could go. And at the end, Houston had more and scored timely goals. So I wonder how Pablo takes what that was, that being the very first game they played without Paulo Ruiz, which changed the momentum and the movement of everyone off the ball, because all of a sudden you didn't have that wand of a left foot that could smash a 60-yard diagonal in the team. What you take from those moments and those lessons in a devastating loss, not only for real time, but like, as we know, Houston goes on to win the U.S. Open Cup final in Miami. They didn't have Messi, but they still beat Miami. RSL would have hosted that game. RSL, in their minds, are losing between $8 to $12 million business-wise by not being able to host that game, by not beating Houston in Houston. So there's been a lot of reverberation. So when Max Brados and I were in St. Louis calling the St. Louis-Seattle game the other night, we looked at this matchup and we said, oh my God, I wouldn't be surprised if we got this game to call, you know, Houston against Real Salt Lake, this series. We ended up with Seattle against FC Dallas, but we were just saying, I mean, this is going to be a heck of a matchup between these two teams, but Houston is most definitely considered the favorite in my eyes.
And there's another sidebar to this. We're talking to Brian Dunseth of Apple TV. The other sidebar to this is that it was pretty well known that the number one target for head coach of the Dynamo last year by Pat Onstad and staff was Pablo Mastroianni, who did negotiate with the Dynamo and then ended up in Salt Lake. Yeah. So there is a little sidebar to that. That left the Dynamo in a place where they had to quickly make a hire, and that hire was Paolo Nagamura, and that didn't work out too well. In fairness to him, it was his first job. So now it's been Ben Olsen and a staff that has really put together a great team. So you and I are going to get inundated with a lot of data, a lot of stats, all kinds of stuff that really you kind of got to push a lot of this to the side, because this is the regular season. And as much as you do need to factor in that information, a lot of it to me is where these teams are the last couple of games and injuries, like you've been stating here. Confidence wise, players still playing for the coach, still playing for each other in Salt Lake.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100, no question. I mean, listen, there's going to be guys that are pissed off, you know, guys, you know, like I said, I've got Dallas series. Yeah. And Nico Lodero just out of the blue announced that this was going to be his last, you know, couple of matches with Seattle in the playoffs. And that's not necessarily the distraction you want if you're Brian Smetzer and company. So yeah, listen, there's been distractions all season long. Now, whether they're public or private, I think that becomes kind of the conversation in terms of the PR management of what it looks like. And there's been some issues at Real Salt Lake, you know, publicly that have kind of snuck out. But yeah, I think it's very clear and obvious that this group still loves playing for Pablo, even though some of the results haven't come near matching the level of expectation for the group of players individually and collectively or the coaching staff.
I think you and I love it when, oh, our locker room's great. You know, we always hear that. No locker room is ever great, because if it is great, then you got a problem, because you got guys that want to be on the field. It should be a respectful locker room no matter what's going on. But, you know, oh, everybody loves each other. Well, no, I don't think guys that aren't playing aren't very happy, because they know it's their career. Let's just go back to simply the health of Chicho Arango and Justin Glad, two guys right up the heart of the team, two critical players. Yeah. How much does this three-game series weigh on health, and simply with those two guys?
Oof. Yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, this is, you know, it's been a tough 2 months for Justin Glad. You know, I think the very last game for Real Salt Lake before Leagues Cup started. And in that run from like April to the end of July, it was like maybe two or three losses. And it was like 12 wins and like four draws. The team was just humming, flying. And I thought Justin Glad had put himself in that conversation of center backs in Major League Soccer that maybe deserved a look at the national team when it wasn't a first choice European national team, you know, the best of the rest type of group. And then all of a sudden, they started Leagues Cup and he didn't have a couple of great games. And then all of a sudden, you know, the PR side kicks in and they announce the long-term contract. He's on significant money and there's been a couple of hiccups. And that hiccup was clearly evident against Sporting Kansas City a couple weeks ago when he got his pocket picked 2 minutes into the game and ended up in a dogzo situation. And for some reason, the referee elected not to, blow the whistle, point to the spot, show straight red. And VAR intervened, and Real Salt Lake found themselves down a man for 88 minutes in a match. They ended up almost tying 3-3, but, you know, it was just one more of those little hiccups that we weren't used to seeing for Justin. And he's been so good this year up until that start of that League's Cup, where all of a sudden there was just a couple moments where you're wondering if it's a technical thing or if it's a mental thing. To Chicho, Chicho's one of the sharpshooters in Major League Soccer. I think he's one of the players like Denny Bawanga, that is the Giamakis, like those type of guys that this year have scored a ton of goals. Cucho Hernandez in Columbus. The percentage and the rate of finishing per chance, left foot, right foot, creating moments for himself, you know, finding the different variations of service, headers. He's just an elite goal scorer. There's a reason why he was newcomer of the year last year. There's a reason why he had something absurd like 28 goals and 32 appearances for LAFC. And there's a reason why Real Salt Lake went out and spent $6 million to get him out of Pachuca and immediately bring him into the side. So, yeah, Chicho's a big part of what they do because he's an individual within a collective that can do things that nobody else in that roster is capable of doing.
Brian Dunseth played for Real Salt Lake, lives in Salt Lake. In a beautiful, I mean, it's just beautiful, the Wasatch Mountains. I miss going out there and doing games. Just going back to Chicho and his efficiency in danger, we all know that a singular guy like that can be the difference in very well-matched teams in MLS playoffs, especially over the course of three games as well. Is there any update on him? Is he the kind of guy that you would feel would play injured?
He absolutely would. Listen, he's not going to be 100%. That's what we know for sure. As fit as you are and as much as you're trying to do, you know, privately, you do lose some of that game fitness. That's going to be inevitable because they have to shut him down to a certain extent. But we know, I mean, with technology these days, it's not like it was when we were playing, not in the, you know, the good old days when the dinosaurs were roaming. I mean, these are, you know, this whole PRP thing where they're, you know, shooting you in the injury spot where the tear is and how quickly can you recover and how does that speed up the process? The tech side is extraordinary. So
I need that all over my body, I think.
Oh,
Send one of those guys to my house. I'll take every shot they got.
And put it right back in my hip. I agree with you. I don't know where he's going to be, but I can promise you that he's going to give it a boxer's chance. He's going to step in there and throw as many punches as he possibly can. And if he tears down again, it's the off season. He doesn't have international duty to really worry about. So the risk versus reward, you most certainly, I think, are going to see him risking himself for the reward of, but you know, what does that mean for managing minutes? And now, because it's not a one-off and it's a potential three-game series dependent upon results, how do you manage this? So there's a lot different variables at play. That's completely different than, say, if this game was a wild card game on Wednesday, where Houston's at home against Real Salt Lake and it's, you know, whoever wins is through.
Yeah, I think you make a great point with the three-game series. You could rest him in the first game, give him additional time to get prepared, and then you don't play until, I think, the 6th.
Was it Monday?
Right?
Yeah.
So you got, you know, maybe you don't have to use him in game one, or maybe he's got an altered role. What about, you know, if he's only got so much in him, maybe it's you bring him on when people are fatiguing later in games. I don't know.
I was saying this during the broadcast with Bretos the other day. You know, you think about the chess match, and some guys are playing with checkers and some guys are playing, you know, with the chess match itself. So, you know, even when you look at that, I keep using the reference. I mean, Brian Smetzer said to me, the Seattle broadcast, he said, look at my bench. I got Nuhu Tolo coming back from international duty. I've got Obed Vargas coming back from international duty, two starters. I've got Nico Ladero off the bench. I've got Raul Ruiz Diaz off the bench. And I've got Xavier Arriaga off the bench. So, you know, how do you, what's the game give you? What does the modern game give you, especially with five substitutions, utilizing halftime, three segments that you get to bring players in? You know, who's playing with chess pieces and who's just playing with checkers when you look down at the bench and you talk about impact players to have a positive effect chasing the game and scoring goals, or a positive effect in shutting the game down and closing it up?
You make a good point with the five substitutions. It helps you absorb injury. By the way, Chuck Norris would beat you in chess with one pawn.
That's true. That's true.
I saw that the other day. That was great. Brian, thank you so much for coming on. I better call him Dunny. That's what everybody calls him. Thanks for coming on the program.
Appreciate you, my man. Thank you so much.
All right. That's Brian Dunseth. You catch him on Apple TV, former player in Major League Soccer. You certainly remember him at Real Salt Lake. That does it tonight here. DaspitLaw.com, presenting sponsor, 713-CALL-NOW. Spotify, Apple, Google, subscribe to the podcast. It helps. You can also get it at ESPN975.com, LamontBrands.com, Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. All the proceeds to Pediatric Cancer 501c charity, Snowdrop Foundation. Until next Tuesday night, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everybody.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.